that is within the authority of the Minister of State-owned Enterprises. 99% of the B share series are controlled by Danantara, so I think the distribution is clear. The strengthening of its victory in Danantara is also clear, and how it will be later is just operational.
Bagaimana nanti tinggal operasionalnya.
Furthermore, Herman Kairon hopes that Danantara will finance all sectors in Indonesia that require investment. By utilizing the investment strength currently owned by Danantara, he's optimistic that the state-owned enterprises' dividends will improve and have a strong budget, which will generate financial benefits for the country. Previously, at the launch of Danantara Monday, President Prabowo also signed Presidential Decree No. 30 of 2025 concerning the appointment of the Supervisory Board and Executive Board of Danantara. Moving on, the Free Nutritious Meal Program reaches 38 provinces in Indonesia. During the month of Ramadan, the Free Nutritious Meal Program will continue to run with various adjustments. Dora Partede has the details.
The Indonesian government through the National Nutrition Agency stated that the Free Nutritious Meal Program has been running in 38 provinces in Indonesia. This was conveyed by the head of the National Nutrition Agency, Dadan Hindayana, after reporting the progress of the implementation of the Free Nutritious Meal Program to President Prabowo Subianto in a limited meeting at the Presidential Palace, Jakarta, Monday. Dadan Hindayana emphasized that this achievement was a significant step in equalizing access to nutrition for the community. Dadan also mentioned that this week the program has been able to serve more than 2 million beneficiaries.
Jadi dalam waktu 1.5 bulan.
So within 1.5 months, thank God it has now reached 38 provinces and 693 service units. And this week it will be able to serve more than 2 million beneficiaries.
Melayani lebih dari 2 juta penerima manfaat.
Meanwhile, during the month of Ramadan, Dadan Hindayana said that the Free Nutritious Meal Program will continue with a number of adjustments in the food distribution mechanism. Dadan explained that students who are fasting can take the meals home for breaking the fast. The food provided during Ramadan will also be long-lasting food such as milk, boiled eggs, dates, cookies, and fruit. Dadan also stated that his agency will continuously pay attention to the food nutritional composition, which includes protein, carbohydrates, and fiber. Dora Pardede for Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world.
The next news. Indonesia Cooperative Minister Budi Aris Setiadi reaffirmed the government's commitment to accelerating food programs and strengthening the role of cooperatives. Ofra has the details.
Indonesian Cooperatives Minister Budi Aris Setiadi affirmed that the government will continue to accelerate food programs and strengthen cooperatives focusing on the Free Nutritious Meal or MBG program. This was conveyed by Budi Aris after attending a meeting with President Prabowo at the Merdeka Palace in Jakarta on Monday, 24 February 2025. He said the program was one of the priorities of President Prabowo Subianto's administration.
Tadi kami baru selesai.
We just finished a meeting with the President starting from 2:30 and it has just finished. The discussion covered steps related to food programs, including the Free Nutritious Meal Program. It also addressed the role of cooperatives, the Ministry of Agriculture, and other related matters. Additionally, it focused on various acceleration efforts for rural development, particularly in the food sector.
Furthermore, Budi Aris emphasized that cooperatives will serve as a key instrument in improving public welfare, especially in rural areas based on the agricultural sector. Cooperatives are seen as a strategic pillar in driving people's economic growth and strengthening their role in supporting food security and the welfare of rural communities, along with accelerating various development programs in the agricultural sector.
Continuing on, Indonesia Minister of Foreign Affairs encouraged people not only in Indonesia, but also around the globe, to understand online scam crime mode before deciding to work overseas. According to Director for the Protection of Indonesian Citizens and Legal Entities at the Ministry, Juda Nugraha, online scam crimes have penetrated communities in many countries, from Asia to the Middle East and Africa. and using different method compared to the trafficking and in-person crime. Andy Ramdoni has the details.
Director for Protection of Indonesian Citizens and Legal Entities at the Indonesian Ministry of Foreign Affairs, Yuda Nugraha, invited the public to acknowledge the online scam crime mode that targets not only Indonesian citizens but also those of other countries around the world. In an interview with Voice of Indonesia RRI World Service in Jakarta on Tuesday, Yuda Nugraha explained that online scam crime has a different mode from traditional trafficking in person crime.
When we are dealing with the so-called traditional trafficking in person cases, we are dealing with a victim profile, mostly women, mostly they are uneducated, coming from poor family, they are jobless. Yeah, and then they're coming from a remote area. But when we are dealing with victim of online scam, we are dealing with completely a different victim profile. Yeah, we have recorded the victim of online scam operation. They are coming from Gen Z, age between 18 to 35 years old, and then they are educated. Even handle cases of victim, he has a master degree. And then they are coming from middle class family. And they are not jobless. Some of them, they have a good work actually in Indonesia, but they are being lured by unscrupulous job opportunities, offices, and then they are being trapped then in some country like Miyawati.
Yuda Nugraha explained a number of efforts can be made so that people can avoid online scam crimes, starting from following procedures according to existing law to checking the validity of job providers and existing work contracts.
So we have to understand about the modus of this online job recruitment. What we would like to highlight about this is very important to understand about the models and then make sure that if we want to work overseas, we do follow proper procedure as stipulated under the law of 18, year 2017, pertaining to the protection of Indonesian migrant workers. And make sure you can check the credibility of the job opportunities. And then make sure you have a valid working visa and then have signed proper employment contract. And don't go if you don't bring those documents with you.
On Thursday, 46 Indonesian citizens who managed to leave the Miyawati area, Myanmar, arrived in Indonesia. They are suspected of being victims of human trafficking and have undergone the National Referral Mechanism, NRM, verification process by the Thai government since January 2025. The repatriation process is a collaboration between the Indonesian government, Thailand, authorities in Myanmar, and the Indonesian military and Indonesian police. Andy Ramdoni reporting.
The next news. The Indonesian Ministry of Youth and Sports has forged a collaboration with the ASEAN Mixed Martial Arts Federation to accelerate the development of young mixed martial arts athletes in Indonesia. In a statement from his office cited on Tuesday, Youth and Sport Minister Dito Aryo Tejo stated that the cooperation focuses on honing the skills of domestic MMA talents aged 10 to 17, preparing them to represent Indonesia at international tournaments. He remarked after receiving a visit from AMMAF President Davran Juraif at his office in Jakarta Monday. The minister expressed confidence that this collaboration would also inspire Indonesian Pencaksilat athletes to pursue careers in the mixed martial arts. The Mixed Martial Arts Federation, AMMAF President Juraif, underscored his team's determination to improve the MMA scene in Indonesia, as he believes the country holds significant potential in the fighting sport. He contended that developing young athletes, certifying referees, and sending athletes abroad for training programs are crucial initial steps for Indonesia to advance its MMA landscape. The AMMAF president also noted that his federation is working towards gaining recognition for MMA from the International Olympics Committee and the Olympic Council of Asia. Meanwhile, the Amateur MMA Association of Indonesia has outlined several strategic plans for this year, including organizing a youth national championship in April, inviting AMMAF to coach and referee workshops, and participating in a youth world championship in Dubai, the United Arab Emirates, in August. Moving on, after almost 2 weeks of training camp in Yogyakarta, Garuda Muda Indonesia team squad has now experienced a significant increase in their performance. The gradual increase was conveyed by assistant coach Sophie Imam Faisal to RRI on the sidelines on the training at the Yogyakarta Independent School. Sophie Imam Faisal said that the increasing performance had started since the 2024 AFF Cup. Meanwhile, the head coach of the U17 national team, Nova Arianto, said that with the increase in performance, it is hoped that the team will get maximum results in the Asian Cup.
Ya, secara progres sangat-sangat baik ya, karena memang kita
yes, in terms of progress, it has been very, very good because we have made it periodic. We have indeed planned according to what we have made because we have formed this team since the beginning of 2024. How do we enter the AFF and when we are still in the qualification? When we enter the Asian Cup, and that is in accordance with our target, and hopefully it can help the players later in the Asian Cup. In the Asian Cup that will take place on April 3rd until 20th of 2025 in Saudi Arabia, Nova Arianto targets the Garuda Muda squad to become the champion of the tournament for the first time, or at least get a ticket to qualify for the U17 World Cup that will take place in November 2025 in Qatar. And that's the news from Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. And coming up next, here's commentary entitled Indonesian Citizens Victims of Human Trafficking by Anna Trijayakasih.
Voice of Indonesia's commentary today is on Indonesian citizens victims of human trafficking. Indonesian Ministry of Foreign Affairs repatriated 46 Indonesian citizens victims of human trafficking who were trapped in the conflict area of Miawadi, Myanmar. It was carried out via Bangkok on Thursday night, February the 20th. Regarding the repatriation, the Director of Protection of Indonesian Citizens and Legal Entities at the Indonesian Ministry of Foreign Affairs, Yuda Nugraha, in a special interview with Voice of Indonesia said there were around 6,000 Indonesian citizens who were detected as victims in almost 10 countries, including South Africa, Belarus, Thailand, the Philippines, and the United Arab Emirates. Almost all of them were deceived because of job vacancies abroad with the lure of attractive salaries and positions. They not only came from low levels of education, but some even of the graduate level. Reflecting on the victims of human trafficking case, Yuda Nugraha asked for cooperation from stakeholders in all lines such as ministries, institutions, academics, and the private sector to prevent and provide education to the public about the dangers of human trafficking and online scams. In fact, the process of finding work abroad is not as easy as many people think. Someone may have quite good abilities or skills in particular field. However, in this day and age, if you ignore technology and insight, you will be easily deceived. For this reason, the identification of companies or parties opening vacancies must be carefully examined. It could be that what the Ministry of Foreign Affairs detected from its representatives abroad was just the tip of the iceberg, while what actually happened was even bigger and more complicated. For this reason, socialization about the ins and outs of jobs offers abroad must touch all parties from the top to the bottom by involving academics and community leaders. In addition, education about the dangers of online scams must also be intensified by the government because this is where it all comes from. Currently, the Indonesian Ministry of Foreign Affairs has taken several actions. One of them is cooperating with countries that have been detected to see the arrival of suspicious Indonesian citizens there. Well, that was commentary.
overseas service of Radio Republic Indonesia, broadcast in 9 language services: English, French, German, Dutch, Spanish, Arabic, Mandarin, Japanese, and Indonesia. Voice of Indonesia is broadcast by shortwave 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz, and by streaming on voanews.id and RSE Digital on mobile application. We present various programs for diplomacy force, transaction, Indonesian wonder, people and let's speak Bahasa Indonesia, Indonesian pop and regional songs, international musical entertainment, as well as news and information about Indonesia and abroad. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Which are part of the Leader Waterfall. The best time to visit the waterfall is in the morning, as you can witness the beauty of sunrise at the waterfall. The panorama of the waterfalls is outstanding. In addition, the waterfalls have cozy ambience and cool temperature. It is one of the places that you should explore if you travel to Banyuwangi. You can take public transportation, motorbike, and car to get to the waterfalls. The destination takes 45 minutes from Banyuwangi. There is not any facility at the waterfalls due to its location at the protected forest. You can park your vehicles at the locals' housing, which is about 1 km from the waterfalls. The entrance ticket of the waterfalls is 3,000 rupiah. Meanwhile, you have to pay 5,000 rupiah for the parking ticket. If you are passionate about adventure, you must visit Leader Waterfalls in Banyuwangi. The falls are extremely challenging to visit because you need to conquer complicated fields such as pine forest, clover, and sugar plantation, as well as steep cliffs.
Listener, if you really like coffee and you are one of the coffee lovers, let's listen to Indonesian Wonder with Rahma about Godok Coffee.
coffee lovers, Indonesia is a paradise for coffee. Here you can enjoy various types of coffee with unique flavors. One that we highly recommend is Godok Coffee. Its distinctive preparation method and special taste make many people love it. Recently, this iconic culinary gem for Ciamis Regency, West Java Province, was officially recognized as an intangible cultural heritage at the West Java provincial level. The uniqueness of Godok coffee lies in its preparation. The coffee beans are not ground but left whole or golondongan. These whole beans are roasted until they turn slightly blackish, then boiled in water with palm sugar and coconut milk, or in Sundanese of West Java language it is called chipati. Some people in Ciamis refer to it as golondong coffee, as golondong in Sundanese means whole, referring to the unground coffee beans. When enjoyed, it delivers a sweet, savory, and slightly bitter taste, with the coffee beans none to be chewed. Listener, according to local stories, Godok coffee has been around since the 17th century. It was traditionally served during celebrations or Thanksgiving events. Godok coffee pairs perfectly with sweet snacks like apam cake, papais or traditional rice flour and palm sugar cake, fermented cassava, or even fried snacks. In the sacred Lengkong site in Ciamis, Godok coffee served as a ritual in every Mupunjung tradition during the month of Muharram. In this ritual, Godok coffee is offered as a sacred offering, followed by communal prayer or tawasul, and then enjoyed together with the other offering. Well, listeners, that's today's Indonesian Wonder from Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, after this, we will listen to Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia with the topic Di Bali, or in Bali. So, if you're interested, stay tuned with us in Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, welcome back to Mari Berbahasa Indonesia, or Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, which introduces Indonesian vocabulary and guides you to speak in Indonesian language. Mari Berbahasa Indonesia, or Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, is a collaboration between Voice of Indonesia and the Language Department Agency of the Indonesian Ministry of Education, Culture, Research, and Technology. Today's topic is
Di Bali, Di Bali,
which means in Bali. You will listen to a conversation about
berteriak-teriak,
which means shooting. The monologue is by Chris, a vlogger from Australia, who was recording a vlog at Padang Bayi Seaport in Bali. Chris was about to board a ferry with his motorcycle to Lombok. When he was vlogging, he heard people shooting at the motorists who cut in line. Let's listen to the monologue.
Halo semua. Siang ini saya berada di Pelabuhan Padang Bayi, Bali. Saya mau naik ferry ke Lombok dengan motor saya. Sebentar. Kenapa orang-orang itu berteriak-teriak? Oh, ternyata ada pengendara motor yang menyalip antrean.
After listening to the conversations, I will introduce you to some vocabulary and expressions related to today's topic,
berteriak-teriak,
which means shooting. We will say it slowly, and please repeat after us.
Kenapa,
which means why,
orang-orang itu,
which means those people,
berteriak-teriak,
which means shooting.
Kenapa orang itu berteriak-teriak?
Which means, why are those people shouting?
Siang ini.
Which means, this noon.
Pelabuhan Padang Bayi.
Which means, Padang Bayi Seaport.
Naik.
Which means, aboard.
Ferry.
Which means, ferry.
Motor.
which means motorcycle.
Pengendara motor. Pengendara motor.
Which means motorist.
Sebentar. Sebentar.
Which means a moment.
Ternyata. Ternyata.
Which means it turns out.
Menyalip antrian. Menyalip antrian.
Which means cutting in line. In the monologue, you heard the expression.
Kenapa orang-orang itu berteriak-teriak? Kenapa orang-orang itu berteriak-teriak?
Which means why are those people shouting? There is the phrase
berteriak-teriak, berteriak-teriak,
which means shouting, which in this case also literally means
berteriak berkali-kali, berteriak berkali-kali,
which means shouting for many times. The phrase
berteriak-teriak, berteriak-teriak,
which means to shout or to yell, and literally means exclaiming with a loud voice. Indeed, Chris was describing the people who kept shouting for many times by saying,
orang-orang itu berteriak-teriak. Orang-orang itu berteriak-teriak.
Which means those people are shouting. Here is another example. Let's hear some other examples of repetitive or continuous activity.
Berbisik-bisik, berbisik-bisik.
Which means whispering.
Saya mendengar mereka berbisik-bisik membicarakan saya. Saya mendengar mereka berbisik-bisik membicarakan saya.
Which means I heard them whispering about me.
Bermain-main, bermain-main.
Which means playing.
Gadis kecil itu bermain-main di dek kapal. Gadis kecil itu bermain-main di dek kapal.
Which means the little girl was playing at the dek.
Kapal. Kapal.
Or a ship is a water transportation. Obviously, there are other water transportations besides ships. They can be
ferry. Ferry.
Which means ferry.
Perahu. Perahu.
Which means boat.
Kapal pesiar. Kapal pesiar.
Which means yacht.
Rakit. Rakit.
Which means raft.
Kapal selam. Kapal selam.
Which means submarine. Before we end today's Mari Berbahasa Indonesia or Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, let's have another go with the monologue.
Halo semua. Siang ini saya berada di Pelabuhan Padang Bayi, Bali. Saya mau naik feri ke Lombok dengan motor saya. Sebentar. Kenapa orang-orang itu berteriak-teriak? Oh, ternyata ada pengendara motor yang menyalip antrean.
Well, listeners, that was Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia for today about
berteriak-teriak. Berteriak-teriak.
Which means shooting. We hope today's edition will be useful for you. And for those who want to know more about Indonesian language, I'm Daniel and my colleague,
Karno Olivia.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Listeners, today's Music Corner presents a Malay song entitled Ampera Berjaya or Glorious Ampera by Igo Alamsyah. The song Ampera Berjaya was composed by Atan. The song tells the story of Ampera, a bridge known as the icon of Palembang City, South Sumatra Province. In this song, Ampera is thought to stand majestically and beautifully in the land of Sriwijaya. The lyrics of Ampera Berjaya contain a message to build the country together so that Palembang remains Islamic. Well, listener, here is the song Ampera Berjaya by Igo Alamsyah. Enjoy!
Thank you. Voice of Indonesia.
Much boy listener for tuning in Voice of Indonesia today. And for those of you who wants to send your critic suggestion and also information, you can send it through our social media in Facebook account The Voice of Indonesia, Twitter account at VOI Indonesia, Instagram and TikTok account in VOI double underscore official. We also have our email address in VOI at voinews.id. And also our WhatsApp number in +62 821 2381 2130. Again, in +62 821 2381 2130. Thank you so much, boy listener, for listening to Indonesia Today. But don't go anywhere, because after this, Voice of Indonesia will always be here, bringing you the latest update from Indonesia to the world. So always stay tuned with us in Voice of Indonesia. From Indonesia to... Thank you.
Indonesia は、Indonesia に関するニュース、情報、エンターテインメントだけでなく、様々な情報を提供します。周波数 332kHz および4755kHz で、またはウェブサイト www.foinews.io より、テレビデジタルアプリケーション KU で毎日放送を視聴したり、アクセスしたりできます。
Selamat malam, konbanwa. Kyo ni sene jugonen nigetsu ni jugonichi, watashi engar ga ichijigan no nihongo hoso okuri itashimasu. Kyo wa niusu, Indonesia no onkaku, sore tomo iroiro na Indonesia no jougo o otoruke shimasu. Tsugi wa niusu o otsutai shimasu. Hiki tsuzuki shuhasu 3325kHz ya 4755kHz からボイスオブインドネシアの放送をお聞きください。リスナーの皆さん、ニュースです。今日の見出しは、無料栄養食プログラム200万人以上の受益者に提供し、38州に拡大。政府ラマダン期間中の食料価格安定のため低価格市場対策を実施。ソズ経済省とジャカルタ州政府、ロカル IP のグローバル展開に向けた協力を強化。最初のニュースです。インドネシア政府は国家栄養庁を通じて無料栄養食プログラムがインドネシア全土38州で実施されていることを発表しました。これは、ダダン・ヒンダヤナ国家栄養庁長官が2月24日月曜日にジャカルタの大統領宮殿でラボースビアント大統領に対し、同プログラムの進捗、状況を報告した際に明らかにしたものです。ダダン長官はこの成果が国民の栄養アクセスの公平化に向けた重要な一歩であると強調し、今週中に本プログラムが200万人以上の受益者に提供される見込みであると述べました。
Jadi dalam waktu 1.5 bulan, alhamdulillah sekarang sudah
開始から1ヶ月半で、アロハンドリラ、現在38州693のサービス拠点に拡大しました。今週中には200万人以上の受益者に提供できる予定です。ラマダン期間中もプログラムは継続され、食事の配布方法にいくつかの調整が加えられます。ダダン長官は、断食を行う生徒には、食事を持ち帰るできるようにし、水没後の断食明けに摂取できるよう配慮すると説明しました。また食品の種類は、日持ちするもの、牛乳、ゆで卵、ナツメヤシ、クッキー、果物に調整されます。さらに政府は引き続き、タンパク質、炭水化物、食物繊維をバランスよく、そこも栄養価の高い食事を提供する方針です。次は、政府は2015年のラマダンとイードルフィトリ、断食明け大祭を前に、食料価格の安定を図るための低価格市場対策を実施します。アンディアムラン・ソナイマンの行大臣が主導し、ポスエネリシャ株式会社の4500店舗、並びに国家食料公社及び ID フードと協力して展開されます。この対策は2月20日から3月29日までの期間に実施され、主に5つの主要食品、食用油、ニンニク、砂糖、冷凍バッファローミート、SPHB 米が手頃な価格で提供されます。農業大臣は食料価格の安定の重要性を強調し、小売価格の上限を超えた販売を行わないよう事業者に警告を発しました。また、ポスエネリシア株式会社も物流インフラと輸送物支援を受けることで、ラマダン及び国家主教行事期間中の食料供給の確保が期待されています。最後のニュースです。インドネシア創造経済省とジャカルタ州開発企画省は、ジャカルタフューチャーシティハブを通じて、 インドネシアのローカル知的財産権または IP の国際的な競争力を高めるための協力を強化しています。イレノマルソウゾ経済副大臣は、政府がローカル IP を